This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Caitlin Carey is best known as a violinist, singer, and songwriter who made her big break with the band Whiskey Town. She later joined other musical acts like Trace Chicas and the North Carolina Music Love Army. But whenever she's out on the road, she also likes to keep her hands busy. She worked on craft projects like needlepoint or knitting, and her interest in fabric embroidery and collage continued to grow over time. Well, she's now turned most of her focus toward her visual art. She's currently completing a six-month residency at Art Space in Raleigh, where she's been working on needleprint collages. These are pieces that depict local landmarks around the city of Raleigh that she thinks have special significance or tell an interesting story. Caitlin completes her residency in January and joins me in the studio now to talk about it. Caitlin Carey, welcome back to The State of Things.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's really great to be back.
It's great to have you, and these pieces are wonderful. Tell us about this work. You should maybe describe what it is you do with these pieces of yours. It's fabric art and a little bit of embroidery.
Well, I'll confess that the term needleprint is completely made up. I found myself with a need to describe what I do in you know, one needs a brand, right? And my husband's a screen printer, so I just borrowed that half from him. But yeah, so what it is collage made by sewing fabric onto paper. So it's very much a friend of a quilt, but it will not keep you warm. and what I've found is that affixing the fabric to paper allows for, because you've got such a solid structure to sew to, I can include a lot of detail. I mean, quilters are pretty amazing with what they can do fabric on fabric, but I feel like adding the paper in allows for another level of detail. And yeah, so what I'm doing, I'm working from photographs, which I draw all over and isolate elements of a photograph, and then I use the photograph literally as the pattern to cut pieces of fabric and then affix them to paper and sew all the lines.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing now. It's not just a quilt where you're patching a collage of fabric to paper, but you have scenes. I mean, this is the Rialto Theater, for instance. So how do you get that graphic information onto the fabric?
The Rialto name is on the... I didn't try putting in the name of the movie. We saw a wonderful movie that day. But yeah, that's embroidery, and I do that freehand on the sewing machine. So it's... while there are fabulous programs now that you can buy a fancy sewing machine to do embroidery, I'm doing it more the new old-fashioned way, where I use the sewing machine with a free bare needle and... move my hands to make the letters. So that's something that I've been practicing a lot and getting a little better at.
All right, so you've got freehand embroidery on these patches. Now, do you do the whole, do you do it one patch at a time, or do you do the whole piece and then cut it up into...
Right, I do it one patch, one piece at a time, because, which is required by the method, because the sewing machine has a small area in which something, you know, as hard as paper can fit.
So this is so cool. We have these images, by the way, at our website, stateofthings.org, and you can see what we're talking about. But they're wonderful because there's a lot of texture, obviously, and these are places that mean something to you. And Raleigh, talk about the subjects.
The Rialto is... Well, first of all, I want to say that fabric is such a good friend to have in terms of sentimentalizing things that I feel precious and adoring of, because fabric... I think for a lot of people, it just is adorable and lovely and comforting and warm. So that's the finding the right fabric that evokes a mood of a place has been the most fun of all of this. Although I will say I really like to keep my hands busy. You weren't kidding. I mean, this little detail work
You're doing this kind of stuff on the road? I mean, were you like knitting between sets? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Knitting, mostly knitting, but embroidery as well, hand embroidery. And I always have to have busy fingers.
And where does the fabric come from? How do you go to...
Most of it is, and we live in a rich land for this, most of it is upholstery sample.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there are some wonderful, you can really get architecture. But yes, to talk about the places that I choose, you know, the first one, the Rialto, that's our art house. That's where, that's the only place really that I go see movies. And also that that one is notable, the needleprint of the Rialto, because it's the only one I've done so far that includes a human figure, that being my husband Skillet there buying movie tickets.
It's just, I knew that. You didn't even tell me. He looks just like him.
Doesn't it? It really picks him up. It's actually made from his jeans. Wow. And the other joke is that he's very much for sale. That piece is will sell.
Somewhere around the triangle, there's a half-naked Skillet walking
That's
around.
Right. Little looking. Hole in his jeans.
Well, tell us about this next one. Kilo Pest Control.
Oh, Kilo. Yeah, so that's a building that sits on the east edge of Moore Square, downtown Raleigh, and it's one of those holdovers. It's been there, well, I it was one of the first things I noticed when I moved to Raleigh, which is 25 years ago or something. and there used to be a DAV thrift store that I bought all my furniture for my apartment's at. But yeah, Kilo, I mean, what a funny name for it's an extermination company. Turns out that I actually know was a colleague with Cynthia Kilo, who was a relative of the business, but they had...
Pardon me for a moment. You mean it is not a sort of a generic name that points to what we do?
It is not. Well, it does point to what they do. Some people do what their name suggests that they should do. But the real Kilo family has an O-U-G-H on the end of the name, but they took that off to make sure you know what they're up to in there.
This is an aside, but where I came from in Buffalo, New York, we had a die and bury funeral home. Anyway, back to Kilo, the real Kilo family that owned this pest control. And it is beautiful. I mean, it evokes kind of the kinds of stuff you see in cities.
That's right. And it's this humble little building, and it's for sale right now. And I so wish I could buy it to be my artist studio, although I suppose it might be slightly toxic in there. I don't know. Yeah. But I have a feeling that the land that it sits on is probably worth so much money that it won't be there much longer. And that's a lot of what I'm getting at with a lot of my pieces are these buildings that are either threatened or being hidden behind the taller, bigger buildings that we're building so quickly in Raleigh.
But also buildings with great stories behind them, like this one, the Hallelujah Soup Kitchen.
Uh-huh, yeah, the Hallelujah Soup Kitchen. I caught it just before they painted it boring white. It's no longer yellow and purple, although I think the purple remains. But yeah, that's right down the street from my house, and I have spoken to the man who I believe founded it, or at least who runs it, and I think it's just one guy who believes that people shouldn't be hungry, and he gets up very, very early every morning and feeds as many people who come to his place. And so that's the little building. And I think they have church there in the front. And then the kitchen is in the back. And then there's a sort of a Quonset hut where the folks eat. And yeah, it's just it's a crazy building. You can tell by the shape, it's sort of buried in the hill. It's almost one of those underground buildings. And who knows what it was originally? Not me. I should try to find out.
And you've talked to some of the people who go there and are the beneficiaries of this.
That's right. Yeah. I have a family member who spent a short amount of time homeless and definitely ate some meals there and knew some folks there. So yeah, it means a lot to me. I feel like it, like buildings like this that we notice every day, and somehow making this art, to me, it just is a way to shine a light on these things and to tell stories in my head, some of them made up, about what might go on in the buildings, you know.
Well, you have plenty of time to think about that. If you think about what's all going on when you're working with your hands, you start with a photograph, you take the picture, you're looking at the picture, and now you're getting into the fine detail of actually etching these images with your sewing machine. I mean, what is going through your mind, and how does your impression of these places change as you do the work?
It's very meditative, and yeah, people have asked me to draw a line between songwriting and visual art, and the reasons why I do it, and I think that there is one to be drawn in that way, that, you know, thinking about something hard enough to turn it into something else, whatever that might be, to make a transformation, be it physical or audible.
Well, it's storytelling is certainly in both cases, but mm-hmm. obviously, I mean, it would if we could just do the CAT scan or the PET scan, we'd be lighting up different parts of your brain as you were doing the visual stuff versus the songwriting. And I wonder if you feel that, if you have a sense that you're sort of a different kind of creator, even though you're telling stories in both cases.
Most definitely. And I feel like there might be phases in lives, or at least in my life, and when your brain need these different kinds of activities, and I tend to get very focused in on one at a time. I'm still playing music and still writing a song here or there, but I'm finding it really fantastic to focus hard on this and work really hard on it. And I think it does involve a different part of my whole self. So
are you going to pursue this? Is this something you want to keep doing?
This is something I definitely want to keep doing and keep growing. And another thing that I think is really cool about it, I mean, eventually, I guess, it could happen that I would use up all the buildings in Raleigh that are...
They'll make new ones for you. They're in the process right now.
That's right. Well,
they're even bigger.
I might not be quite so fascinated by some of those buildings. But what is really great, and it's great about being at Art Space in this public space, is that I can talk to people about their favorite buildings and stories of their favorite places, or even their family's places. I've done family businesses now that some don't exist anymore, and, working from old photographs. But also, I imagine... even though sometimes I think I just really want to stay home from now on. But there is this idea of going on tour to other cities to find people to tell me about their special buildings and to take those photographs and to do residencies in those cities. So,
Embroiderpalooza. Come on, let's do it.
Let's buy another van. It worked out so great last time.
Well, but now this has spawned, not you, I guess you're part of or will be participating in what I think is a very interesting and new project called the Artist CSA. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So Art Space, it has created an Artist CSA. And for those who aren't familiar, maybe everyone knows about the farm.
I don't. Tell me more.
Oh, okay. Well, so I think this model starts from people who grow food or raise animals, and a CSA is where you pay a set amount of money up front, and every month or every week or every whatever, they deliver you a box of whatever's in season. Right. And in this way, we can sustain farmers because they can count on a certain amount of income. So we, the Art Space folks, have translated this idea into art, and the concept is that each year 8 artists will be chosen to contribute, and are paid a set stipend for this work. So what I'll be doing is making 50 small pieces of art, which will then become part of a collection, and you can buy a share, and it's a great price. It's $300 if you're a member of Art Space, and $350 if you're not, but you should be a member because the membership costs $50. So, it kind of all works out. Yeah. And then what you get is 8 pieces of handmade original art.
Do you get to choose, or you get your
You'll
package?
Get your package, and then I imagine I can imagine a scene of possibly people doing the swap.
The
who
swap.
Knows?
We'll, but this is a great
we'll
idea because
all...
you're talking about a steady income stream, people who love art and want to contribute, and this then produces more art. And it's really the way out of this mess, right? I mean, if what you don't like is commodified art, and art is investment, and food is investment, and land is investment, and everything and work is investment, then the idea is for small investors to get together and buy an equity stake in what they like. And if it's art, go ahead and do that. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's a kind of a great idea. And, of course, it keeps artists going and then produces even more art.
Absolutely. And it's, I think, a wonderful way for young collectors to begin a relationship with artists and to have some wonderful, surprises for their walls. And as you say, and this is so vital, it provides a real income stream for artists where, there are lean, this is one of those professions where there are good times like Christmas and lean times like February.
Like the other 11 months out of the year.
Right.
Well, and CSA, when it means community-supported agriculture, and not in this case community-supported art, is a great idea. And it is a way to kind of take the boom and bust out of farming. But if you think about this, actually these prints and works that you do will last on your wall a lot longer than arugula.
It's true.
I mean, I've done it, and it works. And the arugula is great, so do both of those.
The fiber content is a little bit more in the art.
On the other hand, the nutritional value of your prints, far less. So you see, you need to be part of both.
Both CSAs are very important to you.
All right, so I need to confirm this now. You're going to keep doing the visual stuff, but we will hear you back on this show and in the air. You're going to be doing more music for
us? I promise. As a matter of fact, you can hear me. I'm joking that I'm going to be a harmony. I shouldn't say that word. I'm going to sing with a whole bunch of different people on this Wednesday at Neptune's. There's a concert that's sort of a culmination of a series that Rod Abernathy has been putting on. And so a whole bunch of luminaries will be down at Neptune's on Wednesday evening singing. I don't know whether it's a seasonal thing. I'm singing a Christmas song, but I don't know if everyone else is, and lots of other songs. And then Tres Chicas continue. We're playing shows coming up in January in Wake Forest and March in Chapel Hill. And, yeah, I'll keep singing, I promise. I can't stop.
Great. Caitlin Carey, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so kind. Thanks, Frank.
Caitlin is currently a regional emerging artist in residence at ArtSpace in Raleigh, and you can find out more about the CSA and her work, and we'll probably put up some of those dates you talked about. Lots of information at our website, stateofthings.org.